So Claire, can you tell me a little bit about how you got into the industry and maybe about your most influential claim?
I was telling earlier today, I was talking to a gentleman that they're looking at buying an insurance company. And so they really like the Ametros injured worker centric idea. And so Marcus had said, hey, you should talk to Claire. And so we were talking about this and he was like, how'd you get in the industry? And so I like went off about, you know, I told part of the story. I was like, you know, I grew up a foster kid and an adopted kid and I had an alcoholic dad and a narcotic addicted mom. And I got like zero attention from my parents. And by 16, I didn't live there anymore. And so when I got into the workers' compensation space, my very first injured worker, his name was Ralph and he was 56 years old and he was a janitorial worker. Ralph also had no family and was not married, had no kids. And I loved working with Ralph as my first experience with an injured worker because Ralph and I could be each other's people. And I got to see him through his right carpal tunnel, his left carpal tunnel. And I remember Ralph. I remember his name. I remember all the details about him because it was one of those beautiful opportunities where you really got to see the healing process and how much connection with somebody else matters and how purpose and just having one person that cares about you is so important. And that's where like when we get to come in and we get to be the single point game changer for somebody's life during one of the worst times of theirs. This is like, how could you not want to be in this industry?
That is huge. One of my earlier claims in my career that I remember really well. And you got to think about how to talk about it without revealing what the insured it. But anyway, this was a blue collar guy who was a delivery person who worked really hard at what he did and had been doing it for a long time and his back went out on him and his wife called and he was in such a bad position. Like he couldn't even get off the couch to go to the bathroom and she did not know what to do. And they had taken him to a doctor and because he had high blood pressure, they weren't going to be able to do surgery. Like he needed to have a special cardiac physician there. And I mean, she was just heartbroken trying to figure out what to do. And I had worked with a physician before that who owned his own practice, who was a spinal surgeon, who was amazing. Actually, like if I ever need it, that's where I would go. This guy is the type of person you want to send your family member to. And I called him and I said, this is the situation. This guy really needs to be helped. He has a really bad situation that I think you might be able to help him with, but he would need to have cardiac clearance. It's going to be complicated. And he said, bring him. And she literally put the mattress in the back of their pickup truck, laid him down in the truck and drove an hour and a half to go have this doctor see him. And he was able to perform surgery. And this guy was back to work in like, I want to say 4 weeks doing deliveries again, full time. Like he just loved what he did, but it was a tough ride. And the system was so complicated that without a lot of help, there was no way. And that was something that was nice to see that like he was able to get back to doing what he was doing. We got him to the right person who could take care of him. And his life went on and he was able to continue his career too, which is the best thing. So,
you know, and we've talked, I think a lot of us have been talking in the industry in general of while we've been home during the pandemic, there's not a lot of ways to seek out like connection or see what's going on in the industry. And how do you get to know what's going on when you can't be out and about and listening to people and having those human interfaces? And so one of the things that I think that is important about us bringing this podcast to life is that we can showcase what is available to other people, how there's different types of thought leadership in the industry. There are some people that are really acting brave and taking courageous outlets of not only challenging the status quo, but taking their personal experiences to make everything better for what's yet to come. And I think a lot of our speakers that we've invited on with us depict this really well. And I think you and I have a very big passion for making the industry better and how we can attract talent because of what we do in a different way that nobody's really seen before.
You know, and it's interesting because you think about the insurance industry, it hasn't changed that much, really. If you think of everything from distribution to the way that things are handled, I always joke like the biggest change is we don't have paper files anymore. We have electronic files. That's not that big of a change when you think about how we do things.
Yeah.
So it is really neat to see some people out there who are innovating and coming up with new ways of doing things better, not only to save companies money, but to make an impact.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because the more impact and that humanity that we take or that humanity approach that is taken, guess what? It saves money. I know that's a crazy concept, but we've had these conversations recently where, you know, the old school mind of thinking is penny pinch, penny pinch, penny pinch. And that's not, no, that's not the right way to do things. Do what's right for the healing process. Do what's right for the injured worker. Educate. Make information consumable. Like, the things that we do aren't rocket science. And I always joke, everything that we do, we've learned in kindergarten. Like, come to the scene.
Really,
come sit, play with me. Tell me about what's going on. If you're crying, how can I help? Like, these are all things that are innately easy for small children. And we somehow forget because we've got to check the boxes to make sure we process the claim in the fashion that it needs to be, instead of taking time to establish human connection through trust, transparency, and authenticity.
I agree. I think that's huge. And I think, honestly, and I say this to my adjusters and to my staff all the time, the vast majority of injured workers are legitimately hurt and legitimately want to go back to work. Yep. And all of us can probably also relate to somewhere we worked that we actually liked, but it was hard work. And like, it wasn't always exciting to go do that job. There are a lot of workers that are in those types of situations, and then they're going through something really difficult. And if there was a little bit more empathy and cooperation from everybody, from the employer, the carrier, everyone involved to getting them back, a lot of good things can happen.
I agree. There's so much good stuff that goes on, and it makes people happy. It makes our culture so much better. And that's where I really commend you and what you guys have done at Berkeley Industrial. And it's what we've tried to cultivate here in the WRU, where our team members are happy to come to work because they enjoy the environment that we've created, because we don't make it. So it's like that crusty claims organization that's like, ugh.
That's exciting. I had one of my adjusters say to me, it was actually just last week, they said, you know, the biggest difference in working here and other places I've worked in my career is we're a team. And that means that even though we might have our own assignments on our desk, like, we're all helping each other out. We all have each other's backs. And I think that really makes a big difference. A lot of times I think people who aren't in claims don't understand that the claims roll in whether you're on vacation or not. They come, they come at night, they come on the weekends, and those people need to be helped. And when everybody's pulling in the same direction, then it goes a whole lot more smooth than I'm going to live in my corner of the universe and take care of what needs to be taken care of. And hopefully that's enough.
Yeah. And I think the other, like, as you talk about that with claims come whenever, so families get interrupted. You know, church organizations get interrupted by not having those people there. I would say softball teams, but we're in a pandemic, so there's not a lot of that recreational stuff going on, but there's a lot of avenues that people get removed from, and that can happen at any time, whether, you know, it'd be a car accident or a slip and fall or a machine malfunction or a back strain or whatnot. And it impacts somebody's life at whatever time of day it occurs, and impacts this multifaceted approach to someone. And that's where I think that empathy and that care and compassion and concern, like, we are here to get people back to work and back to life. And I think that life component is the most important one. I do love what we do. I love coming to work every day.
I do too. I know it's crazy, but I can honestly say I've never had a boring day, and I always feel like I'm making a difference. And there are so many ways that I feel like I get to help make the difference, in either in an injured worker's life or an employee's life, or in our company's culture, and all those things add up. And for me, that's what's kept it exciting is, you know, unlike a lot of other things, there's 1,000 different ways people can get hurt, and each one of them is going to handle it differently. And that just keeps everything interesting, so that there's never those days where I've never had a day where I looked up and I was like, oh, what, when is it going to be time to go home? It's always, there's always plenty going on to keep me busy.
That is absolutely true. And every situation is so unique. You don't see the same thing twice. There's always a little twist or a little turn or something that's different in whatever claim comes across our desk. And I think that looking at it from the stance of, if it was you or if it was me or if it's our friends or family, like, that's what we need to treat people like.
Like, yep.
When we look at our teams, we treat them like they're valued family members, because they are. They're our family team. And that's how we should always treat injured workers. So it makes me sad when I hear the icky stories that think our industry is so gray and yucky. And that's not at all. It's full of sparkle. People just need to see it.
I agree.